Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It's Sunday, June 12th, 2011, as we record this. I was going to say 2001, but that's wrong. Sometimes I have this, like, decadal time slip, you know.
I mean, if it would be 2001, I mean, that this would be one really, I mean, we'd be talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. Well, actually, we'd only be talking about one topic. Because it was the day after September 11th.
It's June. So it would not
June, September, you know, they're all the same, really?
I'm trying to think back, like, so actually, in June, let's see, what did we have? We had, like, it was probably, like, Gary Condit and that missing girl.
Oh, Condit, right. Yeah.
And shark attacks. There were, like, shark attacks going on. Sometime around this point of time, like, George Bush choked on a pretzel while watching some sports
event. Is it around now?
Well,
no, it was a little later.
It was between
because
when
it was a college football game.
Okay. It was between when he became president in September 11th. That's all I know.
Yeah, it was like in August, I think it was, something around that. Yeah. So, anyway. Well, but you know, we're close enough. Okay. Yeah,
close enough. Anyway, we've got an exciting show. Obviously, we've as we alluded to last weekend, Apple's WWDC event happened. So we'll have a lot to talk about that, but we may talk about some other stuff: the presidential race, Gingrich, Libya, Gaddafi, blah 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 blah. But we're going to start out the show with the exciting adventures of Representative Wiener. This is Sam interrupting from the future, just to let you know or remind you that what you're listening to was recorded before Representative Wiener decided to actually resign. Damn him.
Yes.
So
I mean,
you want to give the background first? I'm a little bit upset about recent developments on this, but what's the background, Devon? Tell us how this all started, and you know,
did you get any pictures from him? No, I did not. But especially since I don't follow. I must admit that I am not a Twitter guy. Okay. I don't follow anybody on Twitter. I don't tweet. Okay. I have not been able to get into it. Okay. All right.
I'll tell you from my side, by the way, like the only things I tweet, with the exception of a couple replies I've done to people, it's just links to my blog when I make blog posts. So nothing too exciting for me tweeting. I do follow a bunch of people on Twitter now. And I find myself actually often checking that first before I go and check my Google Reader news feeds and stuff, because it's shorter, it's quicker. I have like a lot of the people whose blogs I follow anyway on there, and then I have a few other just sort of fun people, you know. But so I actually am using it a bit, which surprises me, but I am. Anyway, so back to Representative.
Well, anyway,
Wiener.
So Representative Wiener, you know, which is just so appropriate in this case. Anyway, you know, I guess he was following a certain number of ladies, most of them pretty relatively young, and started, for whatever the hell reason, felt the urge to tweet to them. Pictures of him being bare-chested, pictures of his bulging crotch, pictures, I think they said some of them, like, because I haven't seen this, but actual pictures of his penis?
Yep.
Did I? Yep. Okay.
The picture that, like, was leaked earlier, just a couple days ago through the Opie and Anthony show was apparently just that, yes?
Ah, so, you know, I mean, the guy, for whatever the heck reason, felt the urge to expose himself to these women, okay? And it became public, I guess, who was it? The first guy was this conservative guy, Breitbart, Beat Bart.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it.
Exactly, whatever.
I've only seen it
whatever
in
his name is. Right. He went and he, you know, made this public. And at first, you know, he was denying that it was him.
Somebody hacked his
account.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And then a few days later, he came clean and said, yep, it's me. But you know what? That's just, you know, it's okay for me to do that.
I just want to say right here, you know, the someone hacked into my account defense is something I've heard several times from people who did embarrassing things. And look, that just doesn't fly. I'm sorry.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to discount that. I actually have a couple of friends of mine this is what's happened, because the people who've done it have fessed up, okay?
Yeah, I don't deny it. It does sometimes happen. It does sometimes happen.
No, but I'll tell you, Facebook status updates that are all of a sudden are all whacked.
And we're like, what the fuck? Okay.
And what happened was that somebody either logged onto their computer and, like, posted a status on theirs, or actually grabbed their phone while they didn't know and, like, posted some wacky Facebook status.
Well,
but those people, for the most part, have come clean.
Well,
I mean, it can happen.
It can happen. But look, here's usually when something like that happens, it's fairly clear what happened. You know, I mean, not always. I mean, somebody could be more sophisticated. But usually when
let's face it. I don't know if you recall, but 20 years ago, one of the things that I did was that I went and I logged on to somebody's email account.
Oh, yes.
Miss Innocenti, in which I went and I sent an email to the entire close to frickin' school telling people that this girl wanted to fuck anybody who would send themselves naked pictures to her.
Because she left herself logged on in some public computer area, yes.
Yes, exactly. So
yeah, did you get kicked out of school or something for that? I forget.
I did not get kicked out of school, obviously, as I graduated, but I did get... Well, first of all, is that they managed to track me down, number one, okay? Because I did something stupid afterwards.
You logged onto the same machine immediately thereafter.
I logged onto the same machine immediately thereafter, and somebody went through the log files and figured out that there was nobody, almost nobody had been working in that room. Okay, so they tracked me down, and the chief of security of IT for our school went and summoned me to a meeting at his place where he... basically chastised me severely and just said that if I ever did anything like that again, I would never ever use another computer in Carnegie Mellon ever again. Okay. So it can happen. Okay. But in this case,
I'll
and
give you that.
Come up with that excuse. You know, you better, you know, just saying, oh, somebody else. I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
really.
And what happened here, or something similar, has happened a number of times. What was the latest one? The latest one was the Secret Service actually accidentally Twittered something that they didn't mean to. And it seems like for public accounts like this, for like congressmen and organizations, the most common thing is whatever employee has the job of updating their Twitter account accidentally post to that account when they meant to post to their private account. So like the Secret Service one was some like political anti-Republican comment or something on the Secret Service account. And it's like, oops, you know. And a number of things like that have happened. And in this case, it appears, you know, at least part of the leak, I believe, was him accidentally distributing to a larger group than he thought he was distributing to as well. Like, he meant to send a private message, and he accidentally sent it to everybody.
Well, needless to say, anyway, even if he did that, I mean, the one thing about it is that, if these girls wanted to go and, like, you know, show it, I mean, he sent the stuff out there.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, okay, fine.
Yeah, this is an important point, too, here. He wasn't just randomly sort of flashing people. These were people that he was having ongoing back and forth flirtatious conversations with, you know, and then you get into the usual, okay, he was married, blah, 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 blah. But he actually didn't even have... I mean, this depends how his wife thinks about things, but I mean, he never even met these people. He He did online flirtation with them. He sent them some dirty pictures. But, you know, according to all reports, it stopped there. Now, who knows? There may be other things where it didn't stop there. I don't know the guy's history. But I think in the end, though, I want to jump forward a little bit. Because he, at first, he denied all this stuff, which was incredibly stupid. And then, as over the course of the next few days, it became clear that, okay, it was him. And so at that point, he held a press conference. He fessed up. He asked, answered a bunch of questions. He basically said, yes, this was me.
But
yes,
he said,
I did.
I'm not quitting.
But I'm not quitting. Now,
okay.
And then, just in the last few days, there's been increasing pressure from, like, this guy's a Democrat, by the way, from Democratic leadership to have the guy resign. And this, frankly, is where I start to get pissed at the situation. So, like, first of all, I generally think I don't like the culture of resignation in elected officials here. Oh, I did something wrong, resign. You know, look, you got elected, do your fucking job. If the people don't like you anymore, they won't elect you next time. You know, especially like this is like. Okay, yes, the fact that he lied about it speaks to his general truthfulness and character, blah, 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 blah. But for the most part, you know, this is something between him, the people he was texting, and his family. I mean, why does it even matter to the rest of us? The answer is the lying, the answer is the cover-up. If the first time this had come up, he said, oops, I meant to send it just to her, you know.
Well, yeah. but here's the thing. So now the guy says that he is taking a leave of absence and is going to seek treatment.
Well, that's
now,
bullshit.
My question
too.
Is, what? Can I ask just what the fuck is treatment for this? What? What's the treatment?
I imagine there's some sort of, you know, they lecture him about self-control or something. I don't know. I mean, this is idiotic. I mean, the guy started.
What, they got some antibiotics for this. I mean, what the hell? I don't know.
The guy should have been like, you know, I don't know. Like, he started out okay. Like, well, he started out badly with the lying, but then his press conference was pretty good. He basically said, "Look, I own up for all this stuff. I did all this stuff. I'm not going anywhere. I'm keeping my job." You know, and now he's sort of, "I'm going into treatment. I want to take a leave of absence, blah blah blah." All this bullshit. He should just be like, you know, what's the best way to put this in a way that, you know, is commensurate with the kind of stuff he was doing? He should just go tell Nancy Pelosi, you know, that if she doesn't shut the fuck up, he'll start sending pictures to her. You know? I don't know. It's just like, come on. He should be like, look, this is, you know, I'm gonna do my job. This is none of your fucking business. Get out of my face. If you want to do some sort of, you know, the House does have the ability to expel people. If you want to go about expelling me, go through the fucking process and do it.
Right.
If you, otherwise, let my, you know, my district decide what to do with me. And from the polls that have been taken in his district, most of them say he shouldn't resign and he should stay on board. Now, there's some redistricting weird stuff. By the time he gets to the next election, he may not even have a district. So there are other things at play. But, like, basically, he should tell these people to go fuck off, you know, and just, you know, deal with what he has to do with his family, because I'm pretty sure his wife, who, by the way, just announced she's pregnant as well, is probably pretty pissed about this. But, you know, let them deal with that.
But that's their problem.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, and this kind of thing just annoys me. And I, a couple people pointed out, by the way, just a comparison here. You got Nancy Pelosi and the head of the Democratic caucus and the DLC or whatever, all saying this guy should resign.
Yeah, he lost her shoulder.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, what was it, a year or two ago? I forget exactly when they had that representative caught with, like, wads of cash in his freezer. Jefferson, I think it was, because he was taking bribes, or there was significant evidence that he might be. You know, they asked him to give up some of his committee positions. They never asked him to resign. Yeah, it's like, where's the comparison here?
I don't know.
You know, it's like,
well,
really?
Anyway, well, why are you... if they want to throw him out, they can throw him out.
Well, that's
like,
the thing. They're not going to actually... I don't think they're actually going to go through that process. They're just trying to... I don't know why they're running scared and asking for him to leave. This is... the leadership should just, like, shut up. I mean, this isn't... like, if he was taking bribes, if he was doing something that directly affected his job, you know, then okay, maybe. But, like, otherwise, I don't... it pisses me off. They should just shut the fuck up.
All righty then. Okay, so that was, you know, that. I guess we should take a break right now.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll start talking about some exciting Apple announcements and stuff. Okay, bye. We'll be right back.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LigonierRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on,
baby. Let's do the twist. Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and turned it up all the way.
I got a dancing in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620. And in stereo at LigonierRadio.com, the Valley.
And here we is. So we had So we had a little thing, and there were announcements and stuff, and you know, basically Apple's announcements went into three categories: their desktop operating system, their operating system for iPhones and iPads, and the iCloud. So what do you want to talk about first, Yvonne?
Let's talk about the cloud.
Okay. So the cloud is actually closely tied into the other two things, of course. But basically, right, you know, one of the big themes of all of the other two, you know, what ties all of these things together is basically the notion of cutting the cord and saying that, you know, in the past, and this is something you and I have talked about on this show and others have talked about as well, obviously, the sort of master copy of your stuff is on your computer, and then you sync it to your phones and your iPads and all of that other kind of nonsense. But you know, with things like iPads, where more and more people are wanting to buy them instead of a computer, with people getting iPhones that don't necessarily have the Mac at home, or you know, maybe they don't even have a Windows machine, who knows, but they're not like adept at syncing all these things together. I mean, I'll give you an example here. I'm relatively good. I sync my phone pretty frequently, but I even don't do it every day anymore. And the other members of my family are probably lucky if they do it once a month, you know, just because it's not a priority for them.
I've seen that. That's become a problem, the syncing, because I just realized I got a friend of mine who actually a friend of ours who bought an iPhone about a year ago and confessed to me that she had never synced it.
I know who you're talking about because I got a tech support call from her on that topic a few days ago as well. So,
and so did I. Oh, you know, like, what the hell you mean? You have never synced it. I'm like, you know, there's been a bazillion software updates. Oh, I don't care. It's a phone.
Yes.
And she's right, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't you be able to get those updates over the air? Why should you have to freaking plug it into a USB cable into a computer?
No, absolutely. And then the sort of thing of like keeping your addresses together. I mean, keeping your contacts up to date, your bookmarks, your whatever applications you get, all of that can get messy, can be something that you have to think about and pay attention to make sure it happens the right way. And, you know, and you don't want to think about all that stuff. You just want it to be there. And one of the confusions there is definitely the, you know, one of your machines is the master, and everything else copies it,
right,
you know, and that's confusing, or syncs to it, and then, well, if you make changes in two of them, and then you sync, who wins, and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, from years and years, like, this is something that used to be really, really awful and has gotten better and better over the years. My contact list at this point is a huge freaking mess of, like, you know, duplicates, mismatched information, contacts that were merged together that shouldn't have been, all kinds of crap. And, yeah, I've tried to clean it up a few times, and I've got even a little software, I mean, you recommended to me from the Mac App Store to do this. And it's, like, too big a job, like, to actually clean my contact list up so that it was pretty and everything was good. I'd have to spend many, many hours on it, and I just don't have that kind of time, so it remains messed up. But, you know, this kind of thing, the idea of the cloud, getting back to iCloud, is that the master copy lives in the cloud on some servers at Apple or whatever. And anytime any of your applications on any system make changes to these kinds of things, it gets updated in the central location and they all come back from that. That's a fundamental vision of the cloud, and it applies to your music, your apps, your contacts, your bookmarks, you know, books, movies. They actually didn't say much about movies because I imagine they don't have the licensing worked out yet, but obviously it'll be there eventually. You know, and that's the central idea here, is that you want each of these devices to be able to, you know, essentially be independent. You don't have to worry about syncing them. You don't have to worry about putting them together. They all deal with the master copy in the cloud instead. And so they're all kept up to sync with the same thing. You take a picture on your phone, it shows up on your computer, you know, without you having to, you know.
Now here's one thing I got about this. I've had MobileMe. Okay, for a number of years. That's what I've used. And I will say that I actually have a good synchronized copy of my contacts and my email that I can see, like, in a couple of computers, in a couple, you know, like three devices.
Yeah.
Okay, normally that I look at. Okay. Now, my thing is that I have that I'm like going like this whole cloud thing, and I'm still not clear, okay, about how this is gonna work. Me and my wife, for example, share – I actually have one account on which we've purchased all our music that we have at home, okay?
Ooh.
However, we because the problem is that if we didn't have it that way, it would be a mess, okay? We couldn't share – I mean, we wouldn't have one consistent copy of our music, okay?
Right. Well, now, they actually do have – okay, go ahead. They did announce a way to deal with that kind of stuff, but go ahead.
Oh, they did announce a way to deal with that. Okay, good. Because the one thing is that I've got my wife who, for example, probably wants to sync her contacts with her MobileMe account, okay, but wants actually the music to be synced from our shared account, okay? You know, and I'm like, those have been the things where I've seen, like, issues. I actually have, like, my sister's house, for example, where this probably either is going to be a boom or a bust, where they have multiple accounts, multiple copies of their music. Not all their music is all synchronized. So they bought music on this computer, and then they bought music on that computer, and then they bought music on that. And then nobody can, like freaking, like, how the hell do we get all this damn music we bought
right
all together at once?
So,
and, you know, it's just...
So the answer is this thing that they... what did they call it? The way to sync music you didn't buy from Apple, essentially. You know, so what they announced is a feature that basically will, like, one of the things, as I was watching the initial demo, they kept talking about
basically
Apple. Yeah, well, first of all, as they were talking, they kept talking about the music you bought from Apple, the music you bought from Apple, the music you bought from Apple. And I'm like, well, goddammit, like, yeah, maybe like a few percent of the music I have on my system I bought from Apple. Like, you know, as a proportion, there's quite a bit that I ripped off CDs back in the CD age. There's quite a bit I bought from a certain other vendor of online music. There are...
Well, let me tell you something.
There's still a fraction of quote-unquote.
Okay, yesterday, just as an aside, I went to somebody's house who, by the way, not only had – this guy had records.
Yeah.
I mean, actual – no.
We've got a little case of LPs. Yeah, we've got a turntable
that's connected to listen to –
Yes, we do.
Wow. Okay. I have. That is the first time that I have been to a place, the house, with somebody that actually had records that they actually played. Okay. So anyway, go ahead.
It doesn't happen every day, but we've got that stuff set up, and I've also got the I've got it set up so that I could, you know, throw the input into my computer and digitize some of it if I wanted to, but I've never bothered.
Unfortunately, our record collection got destroyed in a move. My family's record collection got destroyed in a move many years ago.
I found out within the last year sometime that like my mom had an extensive record collection, and when the last time she moved, she decided, I never listened to these. It's a lot of weight, and she gave them away or something. I forget exactly what she did, but they're gone. I'm like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking?
No, ours were destroyed. We had an extensive record collection. We didn't want to get rid of it. As a matter of fact, we had incredibly good turntables. And honestly, I sold the turntables because it's just, I don't know, all the records were destroyed.
Right.
The movers destroyed them. Anyway. I'm looking at how much music I got purchased versus ripped. Okay. I will say that out of 5,400 items in my music collection, I will probably say that about 1,300 have been purchased from iTunes.
Right.
Okay.
So here, I'll give my stats. I've got 5,300 songs right now. Of them, let's see. Where's the little purchased folder thingy? 460 or so purchased from Apple. 190 or so purchased from other places. I know this is so interesting for everybody.
These are good stats, though. I think people, I think it gives an indication that, I have 1,500 out of 5,500.
I have 700, quote unquote, shared, and all the rest are ripped.
But so what that shows is that for most people, I will say, so it maybe will vary between 30% to 10% of your, say 15% of your music collection maybe is sourced from, and I'm a guy that's bought everything legal, and that still doesn't mean, and over two-thirds of my music collection is from CDs that I ripped.
Right. So, so here's what Apple's solution is to that. They have an extra service that you can buy for, it's a subscription service for like $25 a year that'll basically look through your entire music collection, look for matches that are available on iTunes, and make those available to all your devices. From everything I've heard about this service, it doesn't care where you got the music from. If it matches something iTunes has available for sale, you get access to it at that point. So
what if it was, okay? So wait. So this brings me a very important question. What if it's not available on iTunes?
Then it will, as part of the same $25 an hour service, it will actually upload to the cloud those things that are not a match.
Okay. Yeah, because that's important. I probably got a whole bunch of stuff that is just not available on iTunes.
Well, and you got to think too, their matching probably isn't perfect either. If depending on how you ripped it, and you have a couple extra seconds of silence at the beginning or end. I don't know. It's probably pretty smart, but I'm sure it's not 100% in terms of that. But yeah. So basically, the idea is if you pay this $25 a year, then basically you can. Everything that matches will become available instantly. Everything that doesn't match, you can upload to the cloud and then make available anyway. So this is, a couple other companies have announced sort of music locker services that don't do anything with the licensing, whatever. They just say, hey, you can upload your music and play it from the cloud. This gives access to that kind of feature for the remaining bit that can't be matched. And basically, this gives Apple and the record companies, because they're getting a slice of this as well, a way to get money off, people's, otherwise acquired audio. at least they're getting something where before they were getting nothing, and I guess that made them happy enough. And of course, you know, there are a lot of questions about this. You know, you do this once, but it's an annual fee. Presumably that means if at some point you don't decide to re-up or the service goes away, then suddenly you no longer have access to all that stuff.
Well, but you, this is stuff that you had on a, that you had a copy of.
Yes.
So therefore it's not like, you know, it's not like all of a sudden you signed up for a subscription service. I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden you don't have access to your music.
No, you would still have the original copy, assuming nothing happened to your master computer.
That's correct.
And basically the worst case scenario here is you're back in the old world where you plug in a cord and you sync your computer and it takes care of, and it brings all that together. Although also one of the features when we get to iOS 5 that I believe was on the list was, you know, no longer requiring the plug, like your iPhone recognizing if it's on the same Wi-Fi network as your computer and syncing automatically over the air.
That certainly would. Well, I'll tell you this, that I'm like, but even like, but really, does it need to be over Wi-Fi?
Yes. Almost all of these features are Wi-Fi only because, like, the bandwidth required to do this over 3G would, you know, kill AT&T and all the other carriers.
Oh, God, Jesus. Well, oh, well.
Do you have your Wi-Fi turned off?
No. I have my Wi-Fi turned on, and but the one thing is also that, well, I guess it is syncing with the cloud. It's not – I mean, one of the things that sometimes I have, you know, I have the music sharing turned on my computer.
Right.
Now, but most of the music we have actually is actually the main copy of everything where we've got like all in one place is actually on our laptop.
Right.
So the problem that happens is if a laptop is shut off, then you can't access it. But I guess that's irrelevant with the iCloud. So
yeah, well, and also the situation that you described too, where you've got multiple people sharing an account. I mean, and that's going to cause difficulties. I mean, this is all designed for. I mean, even the music sharing, you know, on the desktop today, but all of this is designed for, you know, one account, one person, essentially. And eventually they may have to think about this a little bit more deeply. But, you know, so the solution you'd have here is you'd each start using your own accounts, and then when you did want to share something between you, you would share the file and then use this $25 service
that
to resync
that.
That
is utterly annoying. Okay, that just doesn't work. That just doesn't work. I mean, it's the reason why we actually have it set up this way, is so we don't have to be fucking thinking about, oh, let me share this file with you. No, we have everything, all the music is synced from, you know, one account, one place. That's it. If I gotta be doing this shit, I mean, fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it may well be that this, like, here, I mean, there are three of us in this household, but we each have completely independent, you know, iTunes accounts.
Well, I will say this. Actually, you can, like, for example, there's probably a way to sync to multiple accounts because, look, just like you can add multiple email accounts to your phone.
Well, the thing is right now, like, if you buy a song from iTunes, you can share it amongst multiple people.
Exactly. Right.
But you are moving the file around.
Okay, don't choke on me, please. Are you okay? Should I call 911?
I think I'm okay, but my voice just went.
Yes.
That was really weird.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is that, well, the one thing is that, you know, right now you can go and, like, activate multiple computers to be authorized to use the same music from iTunes, okay? So I'm going to – there's got to be a way that I could go into the iTunes and just say, well, I you know, I want to be authorized for music from this account. Okay?
This sounds like something that they could figure out something to do with. But it's from everything that they actually presented, it doesn't sound like something that's ironed out in the first release. It sounds like, for the most part, this is making the assumption that you are a person, you have an iTunes account, and it applies to all your devices. And that's the key that's used to sync everything.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have a headache.
Okay, that's most of the cloud stuff. Let's take a break. It's time for your poem of the week. We'll come back and talk about some of the other Apple stuff. And I don't think we even, by the way, covered everything that the cloud does, but close enough. We'll be back after this.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel.
Although Man is in the Same Predicament, by Elizabeth Savage. My son wishes I could be a more interesting animal than the species for which I stand. Upright, an ascendant citizenry, elected to retrieve what's left of the forest during school hours. Wingless, furless, sleekly, I blend into the swarm, visible only at rest and wise, though I have trouble naming the kind of moth I've made precise as hummingbirds, hovering in place, this one unfolds, from a worm known to devour tomatoes and thorns. He is a riddle in taste, a flighty manual on where and how to bite.
For more like this, go to notellmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, here we are. So, the cloud stuff seems like it's going to end up being a primary differentiator for the new OSs anyway. They're also, by the way, opening up APIs so that, you know, application developers can take advantage of the cloud as well and stuff like that.
Well, I gotta say, look, the concept that Steve presented surrounded us, and we didn't even talk about the fact that Steve actually presented all of this.
Yeah. He's not dead yet.
He's not yet dead. And he looked, he looked just about how he looked in December. I mean, he doesn't look any better or worse, I mean, to be honest with you. But,
And then the next day or whatever, he presented to the city council about the new Apple spaceship. But go ahead.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay, great. Well, anyway, so what I was going to say is that, look, this entire concept that the central repository for information is moving from a local copy on a device to a cloud, I mean, I understand how that makes sense. The only thing I've had difficulty with dealing with this concept, okay, is just that, look, recently, for example, there's a cloud subscription service, which I will not name in this conversation, that went and, like, crashed very badly and lost a lot of information from users and then had to tell users that, well, you know what? We not only lost it, but I guess we really didn't back it. We thought we backed it up, but we guess we didn't, and we can't give it back to you. Okay? And if you happen to be the... if that tiny amount happened to be... you would be quite pissed. Okay?
Well, the fundamental thing about all of these services, and we've talked about this before, so I don't want to spend too much time being redundant, is fundamentally it moves the locus of control. And yes, look, reliability on any of these cloud services, even with the kinds of things you just talked about, is probably way greater than anything that most people would be able to do themselves.
Now, that's true. I agree.
However, it does mean that it is not directly in your control. You're subject to, just as a few examples, the services terms of services change. The service goes out of business. The service decides that they don't want to provide a particular service anymore that you were using.
What was the one that just recently shut down and told people that you need to download your information, otherwise it'll be lost? Was it Friendster?
Yeah.
Right.
Google did that recently with one of their older services that not many people used as well. So it happens all the time. Not to mention, of course, one of the things that's been happening lately is with all the things with, like, warrantless wiretapping and even wiretapping with warrants, if you've got something in your house, then, the police actually have to, like, get a warrant and come into your house and take your computer. If you're using some sort of cloud service, they can serve a warrant.
Over there, right?
They can serve a warrant on your provider, And be looking at your stuff without you ever knowing that's going on.
Right.
You know, so that you can defend against it. You know, so, and, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, advocating for the people doing illegal things on their computers. Just pointing out that this all changes. Whenever you're dealing with the cloud, you're dealing with a fundamental shift.
In
the control of the information and trusting where it goes. And, like, you know, there are always going to be people like me who, even when you take advantage of sort of cloud-based features, you're going to make damn sure that there's a local copy of everything, and then you have backups in several different places with several different providers and blah, 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 blah. And you turn on encryption so that, you know, the copy that's in the cloud is encrypted in a way that only you can decrypt. And I probably won't do that with everything either. I have a backup service, and I turned that feature on. But, you know, they probably have a backdoor to it anyway. But most people aren't going to think about any of this stuff at all. And that's fundamentally the point of these services, is that people won't think about it and won't worry about it. They'll just know, hey, look, I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, I have a Mac. And when I take a picture, look, wow, it's everywhere.
And that's true. And most people, you know, what happens is, I've already met, you know, I'm sure you have, like, dealt with a lot of people who, you know, this whole thing about data never crosses their mind. They buy a computer, they never back it up. All of a sudden, the hard drive crashes, they lose everything. And they're like, oh my God, I lost everything and I didn't have a copy. And me having been, you know, raised as a child of the technology industry, for God's sakes, I'm like, the first thing I ever learned when I set up a computer system, when I was a real computer system,
backup.
I mean, backup, and, oh, by the way, and back it up, okay? And, by the way, have multiple copies of the backup, because just one copy. And, like, oh, by the way, I used to keep, like, you know, keep sequentially, you know, keep the last 7 days of backups, for example. You don't trust the last backup. The last backup could be corrupt. The last backup could have been the source of the problem. It may have happened then. No, you want the last 7 days of backups, okay? And, oh, by the way, you want to check that those backups are good, okay? That's what you do, and that's been, like, tattooed into my forehead. Okay, which is why I have a copy, say, on my computer. Which is why I've always had backups of everything. Which is, like, you know, my entire, you know, life. There's always been a backup. I've had a computer. Like, when my laptop died, like, a number of years ago, I had a backup that was a few months old. Okay. Because for some reason my backup sequence had been broken because of some technical glitch that I actually had with a backup solution I was using, okay? And, you know, the one thing is that if it would have been, at that point, I only would have lost a few bits of information, you know, at that point. However, I'm like, I was even so annoyed at having lost anything, I paid $1,000 for a data recovery company to recover everything, okay? Right. You know, and I did that, but most people, you know, don't even, you know, most people didn't even have the luxury of being able to go back to a backup that I had that was only a couple of months old. I mean, right now, as we're sitting and discussing this right now, I am looking at my time machine right now, backing up my freaking my laptop as we speak.
Mine is doing the same thing, and I've gone. Yeah, you know, look, we're anal about this stuff. I have, like. I have additional monitoring. So, like, I have graphs that I look at every day that tell me what my newest Time Machine backup is and how old it is. And if that starts getting more than a certain amount, then I start going, oh crap, something's wrong. I have to go deal with it. You know, same thing for my uploads to Backblaze over the, you know, over the network. You know, so I watch all this stuff like a hawk. But most people, A, don't, and B, shouldn't. And this takes care of that stuff for them. But you do have to realize that, yes, this does make it so that there's a lot more dependency on whatever service provider you choose. And Apple, of course, being Apple, they're constructing these things in a way that really encourage, you know, lock into them. Like, you know, yes, they make it possible to sync all your other music, but damn, it's so much easier if you just buy it from Apple. you know?
But it's but the one thing about it is that it makes it easy overall for the solution, because the problem, you know, it's like the same problem as when we were discussing, for example,
and by the way, jailbroken phones. Yeah, I just want to say, just we were casting some of this in light of backups. iCloud is not by itself a backup solution per se.
No,
it will it will back up your iOS devices once a day to the cloud, but like it's not going to back up your Mac. It's not going to back up all your stuff. It's going to back up sort of, you know, certain parts of it, like your music and your contacts and stuff like that. Go ahead.
So what I was going to say was that when you're going around and you're going to have a solution at this point that is going to be easy for people to use, because it goes back to the concept of why are so many people having problems with security breaches, viruses being installed on their computer, etc. Because, you know, computers, as they were designed 15, 20 years ago, were designed for geeks like you and me, okay? And right now, Apple, what it's doing is, instead of giving, like, them – the fucking 90% of the people don't give a shit about a jailbroken phone. They don't care about the fact that they don't have the notifications in this fucking stupid way or the other way or whatever the hell. What they care about is that the damn thing works, that it doesn't have a virus, and that it's easy to install, okay? That's what they want, okay? And, you know, if you give them a solution that they go and, like, oh, look, peace of mind, ease of use, $29.95 a year. You want it? They're like, yes, sign me up. I mean, why the hell do they want to deal with all this, like, oh, well, you have to go and, like, jailbreak the phone, and then you do this, and then when the update comes out, then you can't really install it because it'll go and screw up your phone, so you have to do this, and that bullshit. But there is, you know, the number of people that want to do this, you know, maybe people like, I mean, even I don't want to do that kind of shit anymore. I used to like doing that kind of shit. Oh, yeah, let me hack it. Let me do this. Let me do that. Fuck that. That's too much work.
Yeah, like
get the damn thing working.
Over the course of the last few years, there have been on one or two occasions times I've heard about jailbroken apps that are like somewhat intriguing that you can't get on regular on the Apple Store for one reason or another. And every time I've thought about it, I've been like, I know that you can run the software and it's like one click. You can download the software, one click, you can jailbreak your phone. But then every time you have an update, you have to worry about it, you know, because it's going to undo your jailbreak, and then you have to put it back, and then you blah, 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 blah. I don't want to deal with that. So I have not found anything compelling enough to give myself that extra hassle.
I don't know if I told you this. Well, I did it with a phone that had a problem already. Okay, so I didn't do it.
And you bricked it, or something, right?
You know, yeah, I bricked a phone that I messed up the way that I was doing the unlock on it. I mean, I had actually done an unlock on a couple of phones. Okay, for people that are taking the phones to Brazil. Okay, And on those phones, I did it, and it was fine. It was pretty easy. But, however, I went to do the unlock on a phone that already was having a problem. Okay? All right? So, mind you, so it wasn't like and I went, and I screwed up one part of it, and I fucking bricked the phone. I mean, I toasted it. It was done. And I'm like, I thought about that, and I'm like, you know, and this is me who pretty much had a pretty decent idea of what he was doing, and I'm like thinking, my God, why the fuck would any normal person want to do this? I mean, really? I mean, if you didn't have to, you wouldn't.
Right. So now, we were supposed to actually move on to talk about Lion and the iOS changes, but we didn't. So let's take another break, and we'll try to squeeze that in before the end of the show. We'll be right back after this exciting whatever it is.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then, let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Mm-hmm.
So it is June. It's not September. Clarify this to people that maybe heard, you know, earlier. As I don't know. You know, so I've gone two straight weeks right now where my dates and times have been very confused. Okay, so today I thought it was June. Last week I thought it was Monday when it was Sunday. Okay, all right. So anyway, the Lion.
Yeah, let's talk about Lion. Let's talk about Lion first. The main things there, I mean, they're updates to all kinds of stuff. They're updating the mail app, all kinds of stuff. But there are a couple interesting things. Like, there's the navigation is an important part of it. Let's go through the list just to make sure we're being somewhat consistent. I'm on Apple.com, Mac OS X. What's new? One thing is that multi-touch gestures. So there are a lot more things.
Wait. Hit the brakes. I want to start with one thing over and above that. The
$29.99?
Fact that they said that not just the $29.99, but the one thing is that they said that it would only be available as a download.
Right, through the Mac App Store.
Through the Mac App Store. Now, I saw many people already complaining about that, and with good reason, okay?
It's going to be twofold fucking big.
It's big, but it's not just that. It's like, what if you are not...
What if you're in a secure environment that's not on the internet? What are you on? Yeah,
What if you're not current? What if you have a computer? What if you have a computer that you want to it got trashed and you want to install it from you need to install it from a disk? What if what about, for example, a number of people who I saw that live in places where the bandwidth sucks?
I'll tell you what. I don't believe it. I believe that it will be available on the Mac App Store for $29.99. I think that will be the primary mode of distribution. It will be available on physical media too. There is no way it will not be. They will put it on the store.
It's got to be. Now,
maybe they'll put it on a thumb drive instead of an optical media. I don't know. But they will be available on physical media. I guarantee you. There are too many use cases where doing a multi-gigabyte download in order to do this update is just physically not practical for people.
Right.
You mentioned low bandwidth. There are certain applications, like I heard someone on the radio talk about like people using them in secure environments where they're not allowed to be attached to the internet. Right. To some degree, these are edge cases, and Apple has always pushed the limits of doing things in they got rid of the floppy drive. They're in the process of getting rid of the optical drive. They try to push you to the next generation of technology relatively early,
okay. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's brilliant that they're doing the primary method of distribution is to go online. I'm with you, but there's got to be a way to deal with those that can't do it right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will. I am sure they are not going to, leave everybody out in the cold. I mean, they may not on day one. They may see how it goes. Like, I mean, if you go to their website right now in the how to buy section, it's 100% about the download.
Right.
But, I think they have to provide some sort of solution to people who can't do that. Because the bottom line is if they don't, people are going to do it anyway. People will, burn.
Say I need to reformat the hard drive. Say I need to start the computer from scratch. I'm like, for whatever the hell reason, say because of whatever, how do I, if I don't have a media disk, how the fuck do I do that?
They will provide a solution. I do not believe they will.
There's gotta be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So getting the how to acquire part, out of the way. All right. Let's go into the features.
Yeah. So let's specifically talk what's new. Because of course it does all the stuff that the old system used to do. But the first thing, and I was starting to talk about this before, is the multi-touch. They're going way further on multi-touch and how to deal with things. So, you've got like things you do with three fingers to bring up the app switcher. You swipe sideways with three fingers to switch between apps. You can scroll with fingers. There's tapping, there's pinching, there's other kinds of swiping and all this crap. So, like, one, this sounds like, right now I'm using the magic trackpad thing with my desktop. I'm not using a mouse.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, but
I
bought one of these, or I got it for Christmas or something. I'm already using a trackpad instead of a mouse on my computer. But from the sound of this, like, it's getting more and more dependent on these gestures. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if even their desktops ship with trackpads instead of mice before too long, in order to support this kind of stuff. Now, I'll tell you, I have very mixed feelings about this kind of stuff. Actually, it's more than mixed. I don't like this. I'll be honest. I don't like these gestures. I like the features behind them, but, like, I find myself, like, I turn off click to tap on my touchpad, on laptops, on this touchpad, on everything, because I'm always clicking when I don't want to, because my finger just taps by mistake. And the pinch to zoom, I do that accidentally all the freaking time, and it really pisses me off. You know, I'm trying to do something else, and all of a sudden my screen's bigger or smaller or whatever, and, there's too much dexterity required to do these things right.
But here's the thing. It's not like the OS is migrating to that's the only way to use it. Like,
No. These are all going to be...
I think that what it does... You know, you're going to have a generation of people right now.
Who's used
honestly,
to this. Yeah.
That who's only used to interfacing with a system this way.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
We are really rearing a whole large generation of people who are only used to interfacing with the system in this way.
Absolutely.
And by bringing that ability, you're allowing those people to work in the way that they are used to working. Okay? On both devices. I think that makes sense, but I just, I don't want them to take away the way I'm used to doing it right now, because I'm like with you. I mean, I'm like, I'm still, look, I've been working way too fucking long using a freaking keyboard and mouse.
We are getting to be the cranky old curmudgeons, because I feel like now when, I can see just somebody saying, well, what the hell's the problem? You do a four-finger swipe grab to do that, and I'm going to be like when I was talking to older people about...
I'm going to give you my single finger, response to your fucking four-finger fucking thing, okay?
And I remember so many times talking to people a little bit older who are having trouble double-clicking. What do you mean double-click?
Oh, yes.
What do you mean single...
Right-clicking.
Right-click. What the hell's a right-click? And, this is
the one thing about the double-click. Or people who kept double-clicking on things that are single-click. Okay,
yes.
So you taught them to double-click, right?
And now they double-click
every freaking time they would go to anything, they would be double-clicking on everything. And I'm like, no, you don't double-click on everything now, damn it. That's a single-click. That's a double-click.
And all this crap is exactly the same thing, except now I'm the old guy who's being like, what do you mean I have to use four fingers? I don't understand, another one that I'm going to be grumpy and curmudgeonly about is full screen apps. So the new Lion is all oriented towards giving applications a mode where they take over the whole screen, which is slightly different than just making your screen your window as large as it can be. Although it's similar, but iPhoto right now has a full screen mode, and there are a couple others, and I'm just not a big fan. I mean, they're not taking away the old way, but they're making this the preferred way. I like having my multiple windows. I like having, I'm working on this thing over here, but on the side I have this other thing that I can keep my eye on and monitor, and on the over here I have this, and
especially
I can easily switch between them and drag back and forth, and
especially now that we've got these very large monitors. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you've got a freaking 27-inch monitor. I mean, why the hell do you want to, just limit the whole screen to just that one thing? I mean, there are times.
And again, this is also...
This screen
is... This is also very much related to, though, the primary emphasis for the OS is less and less your people with the big ass screen. Even with the desktop operating system, there's the acknowledgement that almost, you know, the vast majority of people who are using this are going to be on a laptop. Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah. with a comparatively limited screen, yes, you're going to have you're always going to have the power users who have the big huge monitor or even multiple big huge monitors, and they're in a different world. But you know, most of your people, you know, I'm going to deal with my pictures now. You know, they're going to want to fill the whole screen anyway because they've only got a little 13-inch or 15-inch screen in front of them. And so this makes sense, you know. I probably would be much more likely to use these single full-screen app interfaces on a smaller screen. Absolutely.
I want the big fucking... I like big fucking screens. I like big monitors.
You know, I'm sitting in front of my big monitor right now. My big 27-inch iMac that I'm very happy with, but at the same time, I realize the percentage of the time that I have to where I actually come down here and sit in front of my desk in front of this goddamn computer and use it is getting smaller and smaller over time because... It takes a lot of commitment to say, right now I'm going to stop whatever else is going on in the world. I'm going to go down to my office. I'm going to sit in front of my computer, and I'm going to do something for a couple hours. Maybe that's a factor of, you know, what's in my life right now and, you know, the kids and other things going on. But everybody's got stuff going on in their lives. And I tell you, a lot more frequently, I pop open the laptop and I'm sitting on the couch. You know, and doing stuff.
Well, I think another option is that we also have
we have these very
powerful handheld devices now.
Yep.
That we didn't have before. That for certain things that we want to do that we want to get taken care of quickly. We can use them. Yeah, it's more than enough. And so you don't have to go and, like, sit in front of the big computer in order to do some stuff. However, I will say this, that when I'm working, say, on my spreadsheet that I was doing, I need a spreadsheet to work on. I mean, when I have my big ass monitor to work on that damn sheet, that's a lot better to sit down and do that. When I'm, you know, preparing I was actually looking at editing some photos, for example, I wanted to do. I certainly wanted that big freaking monitor to look at in order to be able to look at those damn things, okay? I'll go do that. But however, if all I just wanted to see is, oh, somebody just sent me a note on this. Oh, okay. I just looked at it on the phone. Okay, fine. I don't need to go, like, sit down in front of the computer.
Right, but you can easily see in a couple years the way that's going to work is, you know, you're just going to, like, flick a switch and the video from your portable device is going to show up on your big screen TV or whatever.
Right. Right, right. Okay, so let's keep going on the line since we've gotten sidetracked. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the full screen.
There's mission control is the next mm-hmm. new feature, which is basically, for those of you who have Macs, it's basically taking Spaces and Expose and the dock and sort of all merging them together into one interface that does all that kind of stuff. You know, at the click of a button or some swipey thing with your swipey trackpad thing, you get a view of everything that's going on in your computer, all your full screen apps, all your regular apps. And if your regular app has multiple windows, they're all grouped together. You know, all of this kind of stuff shows up really easily visible, and you can just click on it and boom, you're there. It basically just gets you a very easy way to move back and forth between your stuff. It looks like a nice enhancement over the existing solutions. I mean, the existing solutions aren't bad. I use them all the time. But like right now, if I go into my expose, right now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 20 windows open, and that's actually low for me. I often have many more than 20 open. And they're not grouped. So, like, you know, I've got several Finder windows, and they're not open, and... Yeah, I've got several Skype windows, and they're not all together, you know. So this is a nice little improvement there. I don't know that there's much more to say about that, but
let me see. I got, I don't know. I was going to see how many windows do I have open. I got no idea. Oh, okay. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Windows open.
So
there you go.
Then, of course, we've got the Mac App Store, which is already out, but is going to become a more core feature. And we've already talked about, you know, getting apps from a secure, trusted location, blah, 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 and how much that will help lots and lots of people. We also have Launchpad, which I'm still a little bit confused about why you have both this and the dock. But basically, this gets you, you know, a screen that shows all your apps on it that looks identical to what you have on an iPhone or an iPad in terms of how they're organized. And that you can go through these screens and just click the app you want to start. I guess it's cleaner than the dock. It's cleaner than your application folder.
But I think because the dock, you can limit the dock just to frequently used items.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas this can give you a whole view of everything. And right.
Yeah, no, so. that's clearly it. And you know, and both are an improvement over actually digging around in your applications folder, which most people, you know, like we were saying, non-geeks get really confused by that kind of stuff. So this is another easy way to get at your apps, see all the apps you have, etc. One really cool one, and we're over time, so we'll just go through this quickly, but is a built-in resume functionality. This is something that, you know, apps will have to write themselves to take care of, but will obviously be built into all the Apple apps right away, and I'm sure a lot of app developers will add support for this really quickly. But basically, it's the app remembers. You know, if you reopen the app after having quit or even after restarting your computer, the app remembers exactly where it was and picks up where you left off. Most of the time, this is would be awesome. There are a few cases where I wouldn't want it to do this, but you know, you figure out the changes and you deal with it. Also, autosave also built in, so that you have time machine functionality. One of the things that Time Machine does is to keep. That's versions coming up. Autosave. Again, if you take advantage of this feature, and apps will have to change and do some development to take advantage of this, but you basically get real-time saving. You don't have to hit the save button. It's constantly saving as you are working. So you type one more word in your document, it's already saved. You don't have to worry about losing that. And, you know, this is another one of those things where we talk about, you know, you were like, backup. Another thing that's been hammered into me since the beginning of time is
save.
Every couple seconds I finish a sentence, I hit save, because I know every once in a while computer will crash or something will happen and you'll lose what you've done since the last save. And, you know, and if it's been, you know, hell, even 15-20 minutes, let alone hours, since the last time you hit save, that can be really freaking annoying. So automatically done in the background as you work, save. now, of course, people will say, well, wait, you know, what if, you know, I don't want to save it yet because I'm still working on my thoughts and you know, I'm editing something and I'm not quite sure I like what I'm doing now over what I had before yet. Well, then you get versions, which is basically the system is automatically saving versions of the document, snapshots of time, every once in a while that you can easily go back and browse through the history of a document. And this stuff is all related to how much more storage space we have than we used to. You know, so now, you know, store a copy of your Word document every couple minutes and keep all of them forever. Well, you can do that. And it's actually not that much space compared to a few minutes of video, you know. And so I think this would be very useful. And Time Machine, you know, if you have Time Machine and you have Time Machine backup, you already have a version of this, but it at most saves your document once every hour or so. This looks like it'll be even more frequent than that on something you're actively working on. Let's see, AirDrop. This is a, you know, within a household, so sharing one Wi-Fi network. Just to be clear, it doesn't even need Wi-Fi. If you're in the proximity of other computers within this feature, it'll detect them automatically and find them. So I guess it's probably using Bluetooth or something.
Yeah. It said something about peer-to-peer networking, but I don't know. I don't know if I really like that feature, to be honest.
Well, here's the thing. It's not automatic. It's not like like you try to give somebody, it'll be like, hey, somebody's trying to give you this document. Do you want it? Now, that could be really annoying if you're walking through an airport and everybody's trying to send you ads or something. But
I guess what I was like thinking. I'm like, this fucking thing. I mean, I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm sure you can turn it off. Too much. But you know, but I could see like you know, I could see that being useful within our house. I mean, right now when we have to share documents between each other if they're too big for email, it's always like. I know what I'm doing in terms of dropping things in shared folders and moving things around, but it's confusing to everybody else. It takes some thinking. This takes the thinking out of it. And this is like what Apple does. It's like, make it brain dead so that, you know, someone who doesn't know anything can just say, hey, I want to share my file with you. And it's done, you know? There's a new version of the mail program. Again, I'm going to be curmudgeonly and I don't like change and I'm not sure if I'll like it, but you know, it looks kind of cool, but I still don't know if I like it.
I don't know. I gotta say that I like the mail program on the iPad. So I actually like the way this looks. So
okay.
I'll be, you know, I'm me being curmudgeonly. I look that.
I use lots of folders like and stuff, and it looks like it's de-emphasizing that and being more the single mailbox view and about search, and like Gmail does this kind of thing too. But I'm all about like filing my stuff away in different areas, and I don't know.
I'm very poor at filing away stuff in folders. So
yeah, so
I do have some, but you know, it's like only. But for the most part, I'm just I like search.
I like search too. I use it all the time. Like when I find something, I never go digging around in my folders. I always use a search, but I still like my folders.
Right.
I don't know why. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just give up on that notion. But you know. And then finally, the server features are available a lot cheaper than they used to be. You know, so if you want to run server stuff, that's it. We didn't really get to a lot of the other iOS stuff besides the cloud, but we're over time, so we should we should wrap it up. Right. But you know, I think the main thing is. Yeah, new notification system that looks like it's going to be much, much better than the old system. The cloud integration stuff. The automatic syncing when you're in the same Wi-Fi network as your computer is going to be pretty nice. What else was there? Anything that was worth a quick mention?
Well, the automatic software updates as well.
Oh, yeah. Software updates over the air. I want to see if if they have a switch to let you do that for your apps too, because that's one thing that annoys me
right
now.
No. Yes, it's as I understood, it was supposed to be for apps and for everything.
Well, no, it'll update apps over the air. The thing is, I want to be able to flip a switch and say, automatically update all my apps whenever an update is available. You don't even have to tell
me. Maybe I misunderstood this, but when I was reading in a couple of sites. I understood that was the case as well. Okay, that's what I understood. But I could be wrong, but that was one of the key things that was mentioned that it's kind of annoying because right now you got to freaking manually update the damn apps.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
Yep. And you know? I understand how sometimes you don't want to update an app, but almost all the time I just want to be on the latest version. And this is another thing where, you know, I'm religious about it. I'm always on the latest version of everything. You know, the rest of my family, you know, whenever I look at my daughter's computer, there's like 50, 60, 70 apps that are waiting for an update, you know, and that haven't been updated, you know? And it's like, come on. And she doesn't care, and that's fine. But like, if it just did it automatically, then she'd be up to date. Anyway.
That's right.
We're over. We've had, you know, a long, boring show reviewing features. But... anyway,
no, that was only the last.
I know. We also talked about the lovely guy and his wiener.
Yes, you did.
Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. This has been yet another edition of Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, please email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with questions, comments, thoughts, or even just to let me know you're listening. It's been a while since we've gotten user feedback. We like it. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about on the air. Tell your friends to listen, and that's it. Tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.